That's M. Ross Perkins with Humboldt County Green from his self-titled album. And he and Zach Gabbard from Buffalo Killers are going to be performing at Brew Fountain up in Bell Fountain on July 13th. It's going to be solo sets from both of them. Really, really excited to see that collaboration. And I actually got to catch up with both of those guys on the phone earlier this week and talk about what they've been up to. It's been a little while since either of them has been on the show. And they both have some exciting things coming, including we've got some Buffalo Killers news embedded herein. So we're going to hear my conversation with M. Ross Perkins first. Then we'll talk to Zach Gabbard, and stick around because we've still got some more live music coming up here on the show. So right now, my conversation with M. Ross Perkins. So the last time we talked, I believe, was right as the album was coming out. Tell me kind of what your trajectory has been like since, you know, having that release.
Well, I just got back from a West Coast tour, which was cool. We kicked off in Nashville and then drove all the way from Nashville out to San Francisco, and then kind of spent about 3 weeks going up and down the California coast, which was cool. Yeah, it's just been a lot of shows. Played like I don't even know how many shows since September, but I've been on the road pretty much consistently since then, and yeah, it's been going great. I mean, the response seems to be good. People are into it, and California treated us well, so that was nice. It's been great.
And so what does kind of the summer and the rest of the year look like? Is it more life on the road, or are you going to be thinking about, you know, taking a break and doing some writing or maybe heading back into the studio at this point?
Yeah, I've got some festival dates throughout the rest of the summer, but I've kind of we're winding down the sort of intense touring schedule, and I'm starting to work on new material and kind of getting some stuff together for whatever the next release will be. So I've been spending some time in the studio and kind of getting all of that together. But yeah, I'm taking a little bit of a break over the next couple months just to kind of settle down and work on getting some new stuff together.
So are you one of those artists? Do you find that the road is a place where you can both get a lot of inspiration and get some writing done as you're traveling, or is that something that kind of comes after you're back home, then you're kind of settling in and doing the writing?
Actually, yeah. I mean, I travel alone most of the time, so I spend a lot of time in the car just kind of, you know, going down the highway. And, you know, yeah, it's a good opportunity to kind of have a clear head and come up with some stuff. Actually, I've been writing material on the road. I don't, you know, sit down in a hotel room and write, but as I'm traveling, I'm coming up with these ideas, and it's okay to, you know, kind of let those float around for a little while over the course of, you know, a few weeks, and usually something comes out. So yeah, those gigs, you know, and, you know, these places like Kentucky or, you know, Tennessee, and these, you know, a little longer drive, they've brought about some good ideas. I've got a nice little collection of new material, and a lot of it was written on the road, so it's a good opportunity for that.
That's awesome. And are you thinking to stick with kind of the same kind of core sound for the next one? Is that kind of where the songs are headed, or is that yet to be determined, sort of capturing that dreamy psychedelic sound that we heard on the previous release?
Yeah, I think on the next one, I tried to be organic with the last record just because it was the debut, and I knew that it kind of had to be, I guess, call it authentic. So I tried to strip away some of the kind of excessive stuff that I have a habit of falling into in the studio and just make it a little bit more accessible or just organic sounding. With this new one, I'm kind of abandoning that and trying to work more towards, you know, just a more complicated kind of record. You know, playing by myself without a backing band sort of creates problems because, you know, a lot of the songs on the record that have a full arrangement are really hard to pull off by myself. And that kind of puts me in a situation where it's like, oh, if I have 10 songs on the record, I might really only be able to pull off like 4 or 5 of them when I play live alone. And so with this one, I thought, well, either I could go, you know, in the total opposite direction and try to write songs that are more appropriate to play by myself, or I could just say, you know, the heck with it and go all in and just make something really, really complicated if I can. And so that's what I've done. I've kind of moved back towards more of like the Esther Caulfield Orchestra type of sound with, you know, lots of layered arrangements and, you know, strange parts and, you know, more complex, you know, orchestration and on the record. So the next one I think is going to be, I want it to be more psychedelic, more lush, you know, just, you know, exploring kind of all the things I can do in the studio rather than worrying about making it a strict kind of guitar, bass, vocal, keyboard, drum arrangement. So yeah, I think it'll definitely be super poppy, super psychedelic, hopefully.
Do you find that when you're even the songs that you can play live, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to these, you know, the more complex ones that come out in the studio, do these songs tend to have kind of this dual life of the studio incarnation versus the solo on the road incarnation?
Yeah, some songs I feel like translate really well, even if I'm stripping them down to be able to perform them live. Some songs really translate nicely in that format. So, you know, a song like Humboldt County Green or something like that actually sounds pretty cool when I'm playing it just by myself. Whereas other songs kind of require that drum or, you know, keyboard part or things like that. But yeah, sometimes they do kind of have a new life when I rearrange them to be able to be more, or I guess less sophisticated. And people seem to like it. I think, you know, the response on the road's been pretty good. Even people who are really into the record come out, I think, maybe expecting to see a full band and then end up, you know, seeing the solo set, and they say, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a different song, but it's, you know, it's got its own unique quality to it.
And I'm sure there's an intimacy there too. You know, an album listening experience can be very intimate. You know, if you're doing the sort of traditional, like, okay, I'm going to like put the record on and like absorb it and have a listening experience. But to have that sort of solo performer vibe, you know, at a venue, that it doesn't always turn out that way. But I'm sure that can be a sort of different kind of intimate connection between you and the audience.
Yeah, I like the, you know, it is intimate. I like the vulnerability of it. I think that when I've played with bands in the past, everybody seems to sort of lean on each other, and that's the whole point, you know, of having a band, and there's something great about that. But when I'm by myself, I feel the vulnerability. I know that it's just me, and if I mess up, everybody knows who made that mistake. And or, you know, I can also do things like decide in the middle of a song that I'm going to change something or sing something differently or hold out a measure longer than I normally would or something like that. Whereas with a band, you're sort of restricted because, you know, you have to stick with that rehearsed arrangement. And I think the audience perceives that too. I think that seeing somebody by themselves, I play the electric guitar when I play live. I did the acoustic thing for so long, and people tend to write you off. I mean, I think people see, you know, a long-haired white guy with an acoustic guitar, and they think, you know, he's instantly typecast, or they think they know what to expect. And I'm guilty of that too. When I go into a bar and I see a guy with an acoustic guitar, I sort of fall into that trap of feeling like I know exactly what I'm about to hear. And, you know, to be honest, it doesn't always really excite me all that much. I play electric to kind of open that up and have something a little bit different going on stage, which, I'll, you know, it also allows me to turn up and overpower somebody if the table in front of me is being a little bit loud or something like that. But,
so there's some strategy there.
Right. Yeah. It's somewhat strategic. But I think that people perceive that that vulnerability, and I try to keep it that way. And, you know, I play songs in keys that sort of keep my voice right at the edge of where it's comfortable, so that when the big note comes up, I try to walk that line, you know, just really delicate balance where it could be good or it could just, you know, all fall apart right there at that moment. And I think people kind of like that anticipation or like, you know, watching that on stage. You kind of hopefully feel like you're seeing something somewhat exciting or dangerous or, you know, a little bit anxiety inducing, you know, me just by myself, but the songs translate well and people seem to like it. So, you know, it's, I think what I'll continue doing at least for the foreseeable future, you know, I've got a lot of options in terms of people who I could, put together a band with, but you know, for the time being, I think that I kind of like this individualistic approach to it. I think it matches really well with what I'm doing in the studio, playing all the instruments and doing everything myself. It sort of goes hand in hand with my live show in that way.
And I'm sure it's going to make touring, you know, that much more practical when you're not dealing with, you know, getting four people and four musicians worth of instruments from one place to another and coordinating, you know, four to five schedules and all of that. When it's just you.
Oh, it's incredible.
You can...
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to listen to anybody snore. I don't have to, you know, listen to people complain about having to eat Wendy's for the fourth time in a day or whatever. You know, and you get tired and you can pull over and stop whenever you want and do whatever you want. Yeah, it's great. I don't have to put up with any of those terrible personalities that come along with having a band.
You only have yourself to deal with.
Right. Yeah. Which, you know, I've been spending my whole life doing that. So I'm plenty used to it.
Well, tell me a little bit about the show that's coming up on the 13th in Bell Fountain. You're going to be playing with Zach Gabbard from Buffalo Killers.
Right. Yeah, we're playing at Brew Fountain, which is, if you've never been there, it's like this strange little diamond in the rough in Bell Fountain. It's a great place. The owners are just the nicest people. They've got excellent food. You know, the beer's great, whatever. I've played up there a few times. I know that Zach has too, and Buffalo Killers have played up there also. And they're just such nice folks, and the crowd is always really nice too. So, yeah, it's just like, you know, you think, you know, I've got a gig in Bell Fountain. You sort of think you know what to expect, and the place is great. I mean, it's a really cool little place. So I'm excited to play with Zach. He's doing a solo set, which is pretty rare for him, but his songs are, you know, incredible. He's one of my favorite songwriters around town. And yeah, I think we're both looking forward to it. I think this is the first time that Zach and I have ever played on the same bill just by ourselves. So I'm looking forward to it. That should be a really fun show.
That is my conversation with M. Ross Perkins. You can see him live on stage at Brew Fountain. That's up in Bell Fountain, Ohio, on July 13th. He's going to be joined by Zach Gabbard of the Buffalo Killers playing solo that evening. And just a day or two ago, I caught up with Zach on the phone to find out what he's been up to musically.
This show at Brew Fountain will be my first show in a year. So I haven't been playing, and I've been more home based. So I've got the studio going at the house, Haller Hills Farm. I've recorded Cricket Bows. That's coming out soon. I've been, you know, Jim Ross did a little of his recordings here, and we got the new Buffalo Killers done, and you know, just been doing it.
Nice.
Writing songs, living.
Doing all the things.
Yeah. Spending time with the kids and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm, you know, living it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's got to be pretty cool for you creatively to have the studio and not just be writing, you know, your songs and working with your band, but to get to interact with other musicians in a creative environment like that. And to, you know, contribute in a way to their work and their albums. It's got to be, you know, kind of an amazing place to be for you as a musician and a creative person.
Yeah. I'm really into the producing thing. I did the record with Handsome Jack, And then I just kept, you know, we did the Cricket Bows one, and then I get, you know, I have a couple singer-songwriters I've been working with, Andrew Hibbard. We got that record done. It's not out yet. And a friend of mine named Tim Combs. And I'm really into it. You know, it's cool to bring people out and that, you know, we're in the barn and it's not, you know, you're away from everything. And I like that, you know, they can touch the board and we can, you know, you see the tape going around. It's a super organic situation. You know, it's not, there's no computers involved. And most of the things that I've done, a lot of it has been, you know, it's all live. You know, the band has to be able to play the song to make a record, which is weird that that's unheard of nowadays, but that's just the world we live in. But,
sure, you'd think that would really be a given.
Yeah, I really like it. You know, it was awesome for Buffalo Killers to be able to do our record here and then to move on from there and to have it. I mean, that's what everyone's always wanted, was that we would, you know, that you have a place that you can go and record. And so it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Has this experience working with other bands and other musicians and sort of getting to be a part of their process, has it changed at all the way that you're tackling writing your own material or working on your own material?
Oh, yeah. When you're telling someone they need to be more descriptive and then you look at yourself, it definitely brings it on back to you. So, you know, I don't know, you know, in those times when you're working on a song or, you know, you're talking about the, you know, how we're going to capture this song or whatever, it definitely does. When it comes time to record yourself or to record your own band, you kind of, you're stepping up, you know, because you're critiquing yourself like you would, you know, or you're actually just lending an extra hand, you know, to yourself.
And I'm sure too, as you're writing stuff now, I'm sure it's that journey, you know, even, you know, let alone, you know, having your own studio, but bands that have, you know, gone into the studio many times and done many albums as you guys have, I'm sure there's definitely, you know, more of a sense of like, oh, you know, here's how I want this to manifest in the studio, or here's how I want to arrange this so it sounds right. I'm sure both, you know, both your just experience being a musician for so long and doing so much writing and recording, but also from the engineer's perspective, that's got to be, yeah, if not conscious, sort of an unconscious thing running in the back of your mind as you're developing new material.
Oh, yeah. And all the things you learn from everyone. I mean, everyone that I've worked with, I've learned so much from them. I mean, that's what, you know, it is a growing experience. So that's, you know, learning from other people. You know, I'm not an engineer. I never studied anywhere or did anything or even worked at a studio before. I just had listened to everyone, and I've always asked questions and just got it and went. You know, and every time someone comes over, you know, and we do something, I learn something from them. They say, hey, I did this, and we try it, and, you know, well, that's the new norm until something else, you know, until something else comes along. But yes, I've always been into the process, and I've always wanted, the main thing was that I always wanted to do all the things that everyone told me I couldn't. You know, there's a, you know, you can't, you got to have isolation. You can't let mm-hmm. everything bleed on each other. I just wanted to do everything that everyone told me I couldn't do. So, you know, we let it bleed. I didn't worry about anything. There's minimal separation. It's just all about capturing that moment when everyone's playing the song together. That's the most important part.
Well, and it seems like for that, you know, it's like, You mentioned, like, you know, nobody ever taught you how to be an engineer. Like, in that spirit, it's like that's where listening and being a good listener is just so crucial. Is, you know, you can have all the fancy tools in the world, but if you're not keyed into that moment to capture it in the way that it's happening, and listening mm-hmm. closely to it, you're going to miss it. You know.
Yeah. No. Yes. It's really cool. It's really great to bring folks over and they come to the farm. And, you know, whether they're bringing friends or their wives or whatever, and it's like a completely free, we're all in the same room. Everyone who's there has to be quiet, you know, when it's going on. There's no lounges or anywhere to hang out and get involved in anything else. The main focus is the recording, and, you know, everyone gets to come and have a good time, and it's an experience that everybody who's there gets to share in.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. So what is kind of, you know, summer and into fall look like for you? You've got the show with M. Ross coming up. Is it going to be kind of ramping up for some more live stuff, or just kind of sticking with the studio work for now?
Well, I thought it would be cool to, you know, to play a show. You know, the folks at Brew Fountain I've known for a while, and they threw it out there. And, you know, sometimes you got to say yes, and I thought it would be good to get out and sing and, you know, to go through the material and play some new stuff. And, but beyond that, it's back to Buffalo Killers. So the Buffalo Killers new album comes out October the 6th.
Yay.
So that's the first time I've said it. You're the first to hear it. It's called Alive and Well in Ohio.
I love the title. That's great.
Yep. And it's on the Live Records.
Excellent.
You know, recorded here, Chad Wells hand drew the artwork, and, you know, and it's awesome. And I can't wait to share it with everyone. We tried so many new things this time around, and, you know, we recorded it all here, and then we took the tapes to Candyland, and Mike Montgomery mixed it. And, I'm really proud of it, and we finally get to share it soon.
Oh, that's exciting.
So there'll be shows. We'll do, you know, the whole shebang here coming up soon.
Wonderful. That's great. And sounds like it's another, it feels like for you guys, since I've known you guys for so long, you've really sort of amassed this kind of family, if you will, of, you know, that goes beyond the band, but of people that put forth effort toward the album. You know, Mike down at Candyland and Chad helping out with the art. That's got to feel so good to have it be sort of, you know, this very organic, you know, sort of family-oriented effort.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Mike Montgomery has been a big part of Buffalo Killers since we did three there. Yeah, Chad, I mean, I can't imagine anyone else doing any of it. It is cool. And, I mean, it is what you're always going for, is to have this group of people that, you know, that help put in their part of it every time. Sean Obnoxious, our writer friend, he's been a part of the band, you know, since the beginning. He's the one who came up with the name. And, you know, before anybody else gets to hear the records, all those people hear them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do the artwork, and we get the, you know, whatever we're going to write about the record. And yeah, it's awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we have a lot to look forward to between the upcoming show in Bell Fountain and then looking ahead to the fall for the new album. So this is great.
Yeah.
That was my conversation with Zach Gabbard from Buffalo Killers. He and M. Ross Perkins are going to be performing on July 13th at Brew Fountain in Bell Fountain. We've got links up to more info on M. Ross, on Buffalo Killers, and on the venue Brew Fountain at our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And mark your calendars for that new Buffalo Killers album. It is coming soon, and of course, we'll be giving you more updates as we get a little closer to that here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Let's hear some more music right now. Here are Buffalo Killers from Fireball of Sulk. This is Marshmallow Mouth. And stick around, we've got live music from Somersault coming up here in just a few minutes on YSO.